Hi, I'm Marlo Higgins, and I spent nearly four decades as an entrepreneur building systems that maximize time and results. I'm a business coach that helps entrepreneurs get crystal clear on what it takes to make their vision a reality. I'm obsessed with clarity because business operations that are rooted in clarity are exponentially more likely to succeed. So join me as I explore the proven habits and strategies that have helped myself and hundreds of other entrepreneurs create a vision, execute a plan, and refine a legacy of success. This is 22 Motivational Minutes with Marlo. Today on 22 Motivational Minutes, we have Khan Apostolopoulos, and I just messed that up, I'm sure, but you're an international author and speaker. You're helping organizations develop leaders that will take their business plan and make it a reality. So Khan, thank you so much for being with us today.
It's such a pleasure to be here with you, Marlo. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Khan, say your last name properly.
You got it right. Apostolopoulos.
Apostolopoulos.
It's not that bad. What, it just rolls off the tongue. But now you see why everybody calls me Coach Khan for short.
I do. And I'm excited. And thank you for, you know, just the real pure honesty of this. The reason I ask that, I want people to know who you are, right? I want us, you're obviously in the show notes, but I just want to be able to put it all together in the most powerful way. You've released a new book called The Engagement Blueprint. I'm really excited about that. Tell us what it is, why you wrote it, and some insight into your most recent book.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that opportunity. Well, the reason why I wrote it is because coming out of the difficult years that we've had recently, everybody's trying to figure out where do we go next? We've survived pandemics. We've survived a lot of crises recently, which I wrote about in my first book. But now coming out of this, now we're dealing with a situation where employees are really disoriented. We're moving into a workplace that is all sorts of weird with in-person, remote, fully remote, hybrid versions, people leaving because they're not happy or satisfied with where they're at, the great resignation, quiet quitting, all of these fancy terms that people are throwing around. So I wanted to bring some semblance of calm and direction and sanity back to this crazy place and say, look, this book is written for leaders. And it's important for leaders to understand how much impact they have on their workplace and understanding how they can shape and build and create environments where people can truly feel engaged. And if they feel engaged, if their needs are being met, they are much more productive and committed to their workplace, and they don't have to go elsewhere to feel like they have to succeed. So if you want to win in business, engage your people.
Absolutely. I mean, people are the greatest asset. And you're absolutely right, Khan. The fact that if, you know, you put focus to it and focus on in giving them a voice, bringing them forward, listening to their ideas, just working and collaborating, I think that is just such an asset to organizations. What was it outside of the pandemic, like working with teams and leaders? I mean, what is the thing that you find most challenging for leaders in that space of engagement?
Well, it's important for them to understand that they don't have to be at odds. I mean, there's this setup between employers and employees, between leaders and the people that are on their teams. It's an artificial battle. In many environments that are not healthy and toxic workplaces, this is set up as a I win, you lose kind of situation. And there is a power swing, a pendulum that goes back and forth. And depending on where we are at any given point in history, the power tends to reside either with the employers or the employees and vice versa. I mean, think about it. In the beginning of 2020, we were in a war for talent. Companies were scrambling because there was such a boom from the 2019 that companies were trying to keep up and keep a stock of good talent on their rosters. Well, after 2020, so many of these large corporations were letting people go by the thousands. And then they were wondering why people didn't rush back when they opened up their doors again a couple of years later. And it's like this pendulum swinging back and forth. Well, all of that is giving everybody a whiplash. And by the end of this last couple of years, we're seeing the weirdest phenomenon where the unemployment rate is extremely low, yet companies and leaders that I talk to are complaining that they can't find good people to work for them. And it's just this paradox, this weirdness that exists. The thing that I found is the work that I've been doing with my clients, which is not necessarily driven by trends or the, you know, what's happening today, but rather on really doing the right thing for their people and for their businesses over time. Been doing this for 30 years, and I realized that there is a formula to it. There's a method to the madness that really served my clients well. Not only did they not struggle during the Great Resignation, they didn't lose any of their top players. If anything, they became a place, a landing place for a lot of those people that were disenfranchised, unhappy, and really looking for something different and leaving their companies and coming to my clients. And I saw an influx and an opportunity to really grow that talent pool and really drive the business and position it. So coming out of this, they were so well positioned that they are leaving their competitors in the dust.
Nice. So I'm hearing a lot of culture, a lot of synergy within the team, that people are just, they have a soft place to land. They know that they have value, and you're connecting those culture components of the systems, the communications, everything around it. So are there specific strategies that have helped you as a coach help your clients with visioning, executing? Talk to me about that.
Yeah. So the interesting thing is that I have, as part of my business, I mean, the way that I explain it to people is that, you know, a lot of my clients or large corporations in general, they all have these wonderful business strategies, these big business plans that they spend a lot of time, money, and brain power to create. The problem is that those best laid plans are not worth the paper they're written on if you don't have the people to execute them. So to me, my job is to make sure that my clients have the right people in the right place at the right time, ready and willing to execute those plans. And what that looks like, those fundamental pieces, if you will, that I call my performance framework, are basically, it's four parts. One is train your people, create the competence that they need, whether that's on the job training, through different structured training programs, formal and informal, build competence within your people. The second thing is build commitment within your people. And we do that a lot of times through mentoring, through coaching, whether it's executive coaching that I do or group coaching or teaching their leaders within their organization how to become better coaches of their people and even peer-to-peer coaching systems. And that leads to the third part, which is teamwork and the element of making sure that good performers know how to work together. Because just because you have good people doesn't mean that they work well together. With my clients, we try to create a scenario where the sum of the parts of these high performers far exceeds that. And it becomes a team that is able to execute at a much greater level than just adding up the good players that we have. And then ultimately, the part that maybe is not so sexy for a lot of the people out there is the systems. How do we make sure that our people systems are all aligned, making sure that our people plan supports the business plan, and that every dollar that my clients spend is a dollar well spent. Why? Because it's targeted towards one of the areas that are going to move the needle. That's where one, you could spend money on a lot of different things. Are you spending wisely? And that's a big part of where the engagement disconnect comes in for leaders and why I wrote the book, because at the heart of it, every leader, every team leader, every business owner, every entrepreneur out there feels like, you know what, I'm spending a lot of money on the people that I have on my team, whether it's through salaries, bonuses, incentives, benefits, whatever it is, the investment in their development. I want to feel that I'm getting something for my money. That's the biggest fear, that commitment is not reciprocated, that my people don't care nearly as much about my business as I do.
That's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, this is 22 motivational minutes, right? Is there a way that you inspire or motivate people or help coach other leaders to do that for their people, to keep people motivated, right? Because when we're motivated, we want to hit the goal. When we're inspired, we want to create bigger plans and ideas. Do you have a toolbox per se of habits or routines to inspire or motivate others?
Absolutely. And here's the beauty of it. You know, I mentioned like these four areas on my performance framework, if you will, these four pillars. But in between each one of those, if you look at the combination of those, for example, between competence and commitment lies the ability for us to show people we value them. So there are four drivers that reside in between those four pillars, if you will. These four drivers of engagement that I've uncovered through my research over the last 18 months prove that these are not just employee needs, these are human needs that we have. And these four drivers, if leaders can leverage them, they can explode that fuel source, that workforce will really turbocharge their business. So for example, we all have a need to feel valued. People that are appreciated will always do more than what's expected. And so when you can create the kind of environment where there is physical and psychological and emotional safety, where people feel appreciated, where you give people the time and attention that they deserve, when you create the right kind of environment where people overall, even with a simple thank you, feel that they make a difference, that's huge. The second driver that resides basically between commitment and teamwork is connection. Mm-hmm. We all have the need to feel connected. Well, we want to feel connected with our team leader, with our supervisor, because people don't leave companies, they leave supervisors. They want to feel connected to their teammates. They want to feel that they have a connection to what we're striving for, the mission, the vision, the values, the goals that the team has. And if I can meet my goals by helping the team, hey, even more. That's an even greater piece of that. Then we have the connection, from the connection, we go to productivity. People want to feel like they are contributing. Leaders need to connect the dots for their people. Don't assume that people get it. Connect the dots between what they do every day and how that fits into the bigger picture. And making sure that, you know what, hey, I can see that this little piece of the puzzle that I control contributes to this bigger part, and I can make a difference. That gives me a greater sense of contribution, a feeling like I'm making a difference. If you want to know what making a difference feels like, go to a group of volunteers. They're not getting paid.
Right.
They're contributing happily. They're probably working harder than half of your workforce. Why? Because they feel like they're making a difference. So show your people how they're making a difference for the team, for the organization, for your customers, to fulfill your mission, whatever that is. And then ultimately, the last piece of the puzzle is that between that teamwork and the systems that we set up is the support that people need to feel to learn and grow. Mm. You know, water is a life force. The way that I explain it to my clients is the water is a life force. The difference between a swamp and a river is movement. If people feel like there's room for them to grow, to move, even laterally at times, to kind of differentiate that there's something there, that they're not stagnant, it doesn't feel like a swamp. It feels like there's growth. There's something for me to look forward to. I need to know that I can learn and grow in this company, because if I can't, I'm going to go elsewhere to fulfill that need.
Yeah, no. And that it's totally monumental in what you're saying there. Now, I'm curious too, being in the people business, how do you feel about recognition? How big of a part does recognition play for the success of a business?
Well, think about it. At the heart of it, what is recognition? At the heart of it, it triggers all of these different elements that we just talked about, these engagement needs that we have. So it satisfies our need to feel valued, that we are acknowledged. It satisfies our need that we are connected to the piece, because my supervisor, my team, my peers are recognizing me, my clients are recognizing me, or it shows my contribution, that I'm contributing in a meaningful way, that I'm being productive. And it also helps people see that I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm being recognized. When we talk about offering respect to people as a way of showing value, which recognition is part of that, that comes in two flavors. There should be the recognition that we have for each other just because we are peers and we are part of the same team. That's the old respect that we have to each other. We come in, I shouldn't be looking down at anybody. And I should also feel like I'm accepted the way I am. So that owed respect is one thing. And then there's earned respect, which is the recognition piece. I get recognized for going above and beyond. That's the part, there's true power in all of these things, Marlo. You know it because that's what you coach your people to do.
Yeah, right. No, absolutely. And it's a catalyst for winning. I mean, these are just some of the key ingredients, as you mentioned, that just ignites people. It allows them to initiate concepts and ideas. And when somebody's initiating something, they're thinking outside the box, they're stretching themselves. And organizations ultimately win when you do things like that. So yeah, it's very powerful. Okay, so let's have a conversation about vision versus action. Like, you know, if a company or organization or a team has a vision, something that they would like to achieve. Do you have a way to transition action from that vision to connect people to, you know, go to those great heights?
So I'll start with one of my favorite quotes. It's from a Japanese proverb, and loosely translated, it basically means that vision without action is daydreaming. Mm. Action without vision is a nightmare.
Fact.
So to me, I use the same metaphor, the same example for my clients, and I think you do as well, where we need to have both. We need to have a clear vision about where we go to in order to mobilize our forces and make sure that everybody gets it. There's no confusion. We're not all running all over the place. There's a clear North Star and a point on the compass, a direction that we're headed to. Yeah. That needs to be there, and that needs to be clear. But then, if you're only talking about it and not acting on it, like I said, it's a daydream. You got to mobilize your forces, because some things you just have to do. You can't sit there and get into analysis paralysis and try to make it as pretty as possible. At some point, you got to fish, because otherwise you're just sitting there cutting bait all day.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've oftentimes seen organizations operate like the Wild Wild West, right? Mm-hmm. And the goal is to get everybody to beat to the same drum and get into alignment. So then that's where the power comes, is when, you know, each one reach one, everybody's working together for the common goal instead of beating to their own drums and doing it the way that they feel is right. And that can be quite challenging at times.
It can be.
Talk to us about that, like with the challenges of having a sense of independence by organizations that offer such freedom. Is there a way to redirect or to ensure that everybody is beating to the same drum?
Yeah, because everybody needs to understand, if you and I were part of a team and we took a group picture, what's the first thing that you and I would do when we got that picture in our hands? We'd probably look to see where we are in this picture, where we fit into things.
Right.
So on one hand, the vision represents that group picture of where we want to go to, what it is that we're all striving for. But at any given time, I need to be able to calibrate, where am I in this? And have that open communication, that point of reference that says, okay, how am I performing in my way to contribute to that bigger picture? So when we set goals, for example, if people can imagine almost like nesting dolls or a cascading waterfall, you start with the big overarching vision that we have as an organization and a team. And then each division or group or team below that breaks down their part of that bigger piece, where they fit into this picture and what they need to contribute from their part and the way that they contribute in order to help us reach the goal. So we set our goals in a cascading way downwards, all the way down to the individual. But when we evaluate those goals, we roll everything up, which means that if I as an individual did my part and each one of the members of my team did our part, then our team would have been successful. If each one of the teams did their part, then the broader division or the organization or the region did their part, and then so on and so forth, all the way up to the top. If everybody does their part, and maybe even a little bit more because they're engaged, guess what? The company will outperform its goals. That's how it works in the simplest way. But everybody has to do their part. Everybody has to understand their part and then embrace it and act on it.
Well, I love your analogies, because I always like to use the statement that the greatest leaders paint the clearest pictures. And you have this amazing way, Con, about you and how you're sharing this on our podcast today for people to kind of really grasp it and take these concepts or these theories and actually put them into play. So kudos to you, because that's what a true leader does, right? It kind of takes the complicated and brings it into such clarity that people can see themselves doing it. Talk to me about that, when it, you know, getting people to really act and do as though you need them to. Is there a method to that madness?
There is, because it starts with our worldview of what leadership is. And if we understand that, in many ways, at least for me, I approach leadership from a servant leader mentality. I'm here to be able to serve my people. So if I've done my part and I've taken the time to hire hard and bring the right people onto my team, train them in a smart way, in an efficient way, managing becomes easy. That's true. My mantra. Hire hard, train smart, manage easy. And when we can do that, what happens is it almost like reverses the pyramid. I don't exist as a leader so everybody can serve me. I exist as a leader to be able to provide the vision and the direction for the team, make sure they have the skills, and then get the hell out of their way and remove any other obstacle that is in their way. You know, Steve Jobs used to famously say that we don't hire smart people at Apple to tell them what to do. We hire them so they can tell us what to do. And that's the thing. That's why they are such an innovative company and an organization. That's why they're at the top of all of these financial, scales or a customer appreciation or their vision as a brand. That's why they're at the top consistently, because they bring in and empower their people, but they also make sure that there's personal accountability, because that's the flip side of empowerment. I can empower people all day long, but I have to make sure that there's a sense of personal accountability in that. That's the paradox as leaders that we need to embrace. And speaking of that, that's an evolution of leadership. I coach and I work with leaders all the time. And sometimes I call them out because many of them embrace a very lazy approach to things. They think just because they've got a title that they've arrived and everybody should listen to them because they're the wisest person in the room. That's not the case. These generations will call us out. These younger generations now will call us out on all of this stuff. And that's important for people to understand. You have to be much more complex as a leader now in certain ways. I call it the leadership paradox. You need to be able to synthesize seemingly opposing concepts in your day-to-day leadership. For example, I need to, as a leader, have empathy for where my people are, what their particular situation is, understanding where they're coming from, while at the same time providing tough love and setting clear boundaries and expectations. That's the empowerment and accountability piece that goes with it. It's the same way that I can manage outputs, how much productivity I'm getting from a particular worker, but I also need to focus on the outcomes, because at the end of the day, did the job get done? And how are we doing that? So high tech, high touch. You and I are in opposite ends of the country almost.
Right.
Yet we are sitting here in the same virtual room having a synchronous conversation in real time. That's high tech. We need to use that high tech for our hybrid workforce to create high touch moments.
Right.
And as a leader, I can't just rely on the fact, well, if I'm not seeing you working, you're not working. I will assume that you're out golfing or something. No, that's not the way it works. You got to be more sophisticated than that.
Yeah, no. And that brings a great point. So as the shift has changed and there is a lot more remote workforce, mm-hmm. I mean, what are some of the problems or challenges maybe that you find within the organizations and allowing that or mm-hmm. being able to trust people? Is there an accountability system or a mindset? What are you seeing in that space?
I'm seeing the same thing I saw 25, 30 years ago when I first worked for a very large corporation. We were exploring the concept of remote workers back in the day. This is before late 90s, early 2000s, before the major offshoring of a lot of these kind of jobs and everything else that went abroad. The numbers have always been there. It makes sense for companies to shed costs and have people work remotely in many ways. Financially, it makes sense. The two factors, even then, that played a big part in why it wasn't working. First one was technology. The second one was trust from management. Technology has caught up. Now we can do a lot more things that we couldn't 20, 30 years ago. But the trust factor hasn't changed, because there are so many leaders that still have that distrust of their people. And they're looking at it and saying, you know what? Hey, I don't know if you're working out there. Well, guess what? That same person that's going to cheat you when they're remote, they're going to cheat you in the office.
True.
They're going to be hanging around the break room for two hours a day. They're going to be watching ESPN on that secondary screen that you've given them.
Right.
I mean, they're going to be doing all these things to avoid work. Your problem is that you didn't hire the right people. Hire hard, train smart, manage easy. If you spend the rest of your life constantly looking over your shoulder or somebody else's shoulder, that's no way to live. That's a full-time job right there. Hire the right people, empower them, show them the connection of what's in it for them, and then cut them loose and manage the outcomes, not the outputs. If you didn't get the job done, then let's have a conversation about why.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. What are the challenges? Because the shoes they're walking in, they're experiencing things that you maybe as a leader are not seeing.
Correct.
And so that collaborative synergy, being able to ask some of those key questions and saying, hey, you know, what was the challenge this week that kept you from hitting that goal? And together you guys can create a solution instead of blame game, right? And
right.
I think, over time with emotional intelligence and people, and, you know, people are tricky and that's our product. And so it's just kind of mainstreaming just the thought process and some of the core fundamental, the simple fundamentals. So right. Everybody wins. It's not hard.
Right. But you need to be able to manage those relationships, have that emotional intelligence to be able to do that and have honest conversations with people. But on the other hand, you have to really have a mastery of the task. If you don't know how long something should take and why if somebody's meeting that mark, or how to break down the work, or how to explain the expectations that you have of somebody, guess what? That could be a problem. I had a client one time that hired a brilliant young woman, single mom, came on board with the firm, started working with them. It's an agency. So he calls me up and we have this conversation, and he says, you know what? I really love this gal. She's so productive and everything else, but you know what? I got a problem. I mean, I have to let her go. I'm like, what happened? He's like, well, she comes in at 9. She leaves at 3. And the rest of us are here at 8, and we leave at 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever time we're done. I said, does she get the work done? He says, oh yeah, and then some. I said, what should I do? I said, hire 5 more of them.
Good answer. Yeah, they're just not seeing it. I mean, that's kind of old school way of thinking about, you know, operations and leadership. So kudos to you.
I mean, you look at it and say, okay, he who dies with more hours on the clock still dies. I mean, you look at it and you say, okay, that's not a badge of honor.
Right, right, right. No, you're absolutely right. Okay, so we are coming into the close, but there are some key factors here and questions I still have for you. You're a business owner, right? You're an entrepreneur. You're responsible for your own company. What do you find in today's world most challenging as an entrepreneur, Con?
I think it comes back to that same piece of trust. You need to find the right people to partner with, whether you decide to employ them as employees of your company or whether you decide to create strategic partnerships like I have. For me, a lot of that is about the trust and finding the right people. You don't have to be the master of anything. For many of us that are solopreneurs or entrepreneurs, we think the title CEO ends up meaning chief everything officer because we have to do everything ourselves. Well, guess what? Don't worry about learning it. Find the right person that's mastered it because your time is going to be spent better doing other things.
No, 100% agree with you. Okay, so as we are at the close, what last words of wisdom? I mean, this has been a rich conversation for those that are listening. You know, it's a booster shot. 22 minutes goes really fast, Con. But what's the message that you would love to leave behind for our listeners today?
Really understand. Don't just say that my people are my greatest asset. Show it, prove it, engage them, meet their needs, meet them where they are, and you will be totally surprised pleasantly by how much that will fuel your company to greater success.
Yeah, those are just poignant words to end with. So thank you, Con. This has been an absolute delight. I'm excited for people to go out. Tell us the name of the book that you've just recently put out to publish.
It's called The Engagement Blueprint, Building a Culture of Commitment and Performance, and it delivers exactly what it says.
Oh, so get out there and get your copy today and follow up with Con on any questions that you have. So thank you, Con. This has been a delight.
It's been a pleasure, Marla. Thank you.
Did you enjoy this topic as much as I did? If you're looking for more insights like these or have a question you'd like to hear about on future episodes, text me at 319-250-2682 or click the link in the show notes. Remember, the road to success is better with friends. Be sure to share this episode to reach your goals together. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, keep your path clear and your energy high.